Welcome back to the Know It All podcast. I'm your host, Sam Forrest, joined by Phoenix Bowder, as always. Phoenix, how have you been?
I've been good, man. No complaints. No complaints at all.
Lovely. Great to hear. This is our last episode together, unfortunately. And then we'll never talk ever again. Right? It's a purely business relationship.
Probably.
Sorry?
Yeah, we're not really friends outside of this podcast. I'm not really particularly fond of Sam.
And I don't blame him.
And I'm looking forward to distancing myself from him vastly.
This is once we've fulfilled all our contracts and made our millions, we're going to part ways. Just creative differences, really. And that's okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Most people know that there's a significant difference in talent between us. And
it's true.
And really, realistically, only one of us should be continuing this.
Yeah. And I mean, like, listen, I had to spend hundreds of thousands just to get him for three episodes. And I don't have the money to keep doing it anymore. So yeah, unfortunately this will be the last one.
Another issue is that at this point I've learned so much about sports that the podcast just doesn't work.
Exactly. This guy's a genius. You can't have a podcast with two know-it-alls. That doesn't really make sense, right? The title of the podcast is singular.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Since this is the last one, since this is the last one, we'll get right into it. One of the biggest stories with the start of the Major League Baseball season has been the ABS challenge system. So we'll start at a pretty basic level. How much do you understand about the strike zone in baseball?
Well, I know on TV it's the little white square that's floating in front of the catcher.
Perfect.
And I assume in person that square is not there, but it's rather just the area above the plate, the home plate.
I mean, this guy gets it. I've taught you so well. Essentially. So the on TV you see it as the square there. That is the actual strike zone. In person, the strikes are called by the width of the plate. So side to side, it is how far the plate is. If the ball touches any part of the plate and passes over that, then it's a strike, as long as it is between, as a general rule, the hitter's knees and their belt is kind of the general strike zone. So that's what you see on TV there.
Okay.
So, baseball has always had a home plate umpire who calls the balls and strikes in real time, which I don't know about you. I am a baseball fan. I've been a baseball fan my entire life. That has always been crazy to me that they are asking a human being to try and accurately tell where a ball was for a split second going at sometimes upwards of 100 miles an hour. And it often leads to some pretty bad calls.
Yeah, I could imagine.
Does that make sense to you that they have just a dude calling these all the time?
Well, aren't don't most other major sports currently use some sort of automated like sensing technology? Or sorry, not censoring, sensing technology. Like I believe in soccer, they have the tech to rule exactly when the ball has crossed the goal line by like a millimeter.
Yeah, they do the same thing with offsides as well in soccer. They have.
Yeah, or I remember one time I watched a tennis match and they had very sophisticated technology there too for determining when a ball is out.
Absolutely.
Right?
Actually, in fact, just a year, maybe a year or two ago, most ATP and WTA tour events changed from having umpires on the court calling balls in and out to just having all of them be automated. So if you ever watch a tennis match nowadays, you'll hear a voice yell out over the loudspeakers, but it's an automated, it's computerized. It's just a recording of a voice. So obviously, which makes sense, you know, those balls are going quite quick. It's fractions of millimeters. It's tiny spaces. It's pretty much impossible to see with the naked eye. So that makes sense, right?
Yeah. All those things apply to baseball as well, though, right? I mean, the umpire is sitting right there behind the batter, right?
Mm-hmm.
But still, I mean, it's the human eye, right? People make mistakes. So are there just a awful amount of bad calls in baseball?
Tons and tons and tons. It became such a problem that this year they introduced something that they had been testing out in minor league baseball called the ABS challenge system, which is automated ball strike. So essentially, they have had for a long time the technology to be able to tell whether or not every single pitch is a ball or strike. They just haven't used it until now.
So, and this is going to, I'm guessing here, right?
Yeah. The point
is, it because of maintaining tradition?
Exactly. That is a big thing. Baseball, more so than maybe any other major North American sport, is so bogged down with tradition. There are a lot of baseball purists. They were like, we want to keep a human umpire behind home plate. We don't care if they're terrible at calling balls and strikes. So they kind of, what they did with the challenge system is kind of mesh the two together. They met in the middle a little bit. So not every pitch is being called by a computer now. They're still being called by an umpire. But twice a game, you can challenge a pitch, whether you're the pitcher, batter, or the catcher.
I see.
If you get it right, you keep your challenge. If you get it wrong, you lose it.
So it seems like they're trying to be more accurate with the calls, but they're still respecting those who want to hold on to the traditional aspect.
Absolutely. And it's worked quite well. It has exposed some umpires who are a lot worse than others, though.
I'm sure it has. Yeah, go ahead.
There's one umpire named C.B. Buckner, who is pretty infamous among both fans and players for how terrible he is. There was a game, I believe it was a Reds game, where he had, I think, in a short span of time, 8 pitches challenged, and they were all completely the wrong call. And he seemed to be getting a little frustrated behind home plate.
I thought you could only do it twice a game.
Sorry, I should clarify. If you challenge and you're right, you get to keep the challenge.
Okay, that adds a little extra layer to the drama.
Yeah, so theoretically, you could challenge every single pitch. And if you get it right, you just keeping on with the challenges. But MLB teams have been using them. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm trying to think of who is damaged by the umpire's bad calls. And obviously, it can kind of be both sides of the team, right? Because mm-hmm. he could call a bad strike or he could call a bad ball.
Yes.
So in some sense, I was going to say that, that's so unfair to the batter, but it kind of could work in their favor as well. However, I was just thinking it must be very nerve-wracking for the pitcher who has such tight margins for how good he is considered, right? So it must be frustrating to rely on just some dude and his eyeball.
That's true. There was a veteran pitcher when they first announced that they were going to be using this system. I can't remember off the top of my head who it was. But he had some complaints about it, actually, because he said he believed that veterans who had been playing for longer deserved the benefit of the doubt with calls. So he was essentially saying that some of these umpires, if they're not sure if something's a ball or a strike, they'll give the benefit of the doubt to a veteran pitcher instead of actually trying to decide based on where the ball was.
Well, that's funny because, I mean, I don't think any referee of any sort should ever have to just guess, right? Like, if they didn't see it properly, that they just kind of fill in the blank with whatever they feel is ridiculous.
Yeah. It had become a pretty big issue, but ABS has done a really solid job of trying to mitigate that. The challenges have not been too intrusive. It hasn't slowed down the game too much. It's leads to a lot better calls of the sport. Keeping on the baseball track, I sent you a video before we recorded, and I held off on trying to talk about it. But this is a bit of a switch from a rather, you know, I think intelligent, interesting, informative conversation about the current strike zone and challenge system to just one of the funniest videos I've maybe ever seen.
I enjoyed it.
I know this doesn't work too well for the audio medium of podcasting, but if you're listening and you have a chance to check out, I don't want to spoil it, so check out, there is a video from a Tampa Bay Rays game that involves a fan in a precarious situation trying to go for a foul ball. If you can try and find that, I would highly recommend watching the video before before listening to us talk about it. But I was talking to a friend of mine when I saw this video. At first, we were at a bar, and we did a pretty detailed analysis of what happened. Phoenix, I know you've only seen it one time, but what did you see? What did you see there? I'm going to put you in the analyst booth. Tell me what you saw.
Well, I saw what I thought was a video about baseball, and in a way it is. However, I saw a batter, and he did a great hit. I thought we were watching a video about a crazy home run or something, mm-hmm. or a new record. And then it veers off to the right, and it goes out of bounds, and you realize it's going into the stands. And then you realize a gentleman is trying to catch it, and he doesn't catch it, and it hits the floor. And when he goes for that ball, and let me say he's a bigger gentleman, his entire pants, his entire lower garments, fall to the ground, and his entire naked rear hindside is exposed to the world. Oh. It's brutal. It's funny though.
It's incredible because, well, one of the things that I cut out of the video that I sent you was almost a full minute of silence from the commentators because I'm guessing here, but in my experience, I'm going to assume that they had to mute their mics because they were probably dying laughing. Because how could you not? The video, it's really interesting. This person is, there's no one standing around them in this video. They're kind of the only one.
No, they're completely alone.
They're the kind of the only one there. And it's interesting. If you ever watch baseball, there is something about a foul ball that activates a primal urge in grown adults. Like, they'll push children out of the way, they'll do backflips, they'll break their legs to catch a baseball, which is ridiculous. And this person who really didn't seem to have a great jump on it, just tumbled, took a spill. That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
The thing I just don't understand, how loose were those pants? Because it didn't take much to get him down.
It didn't. But also, was he wearing anything underneath? Because there was nothing there when they came down.
It's a turnaround, and the pants go down, and it's a full moon. It is just right out in the open. It's rather large. It's, again, this is the only fan in the area there. Yeah. And there's a fun thing. If you do get a chance to watch the video again, this person falls down, and you can see some of the crowd kind of in the background, and they at first kind of go, oh, this person fell, and then you can see when the whole crowd behind this person realizes that the pants went down too, the look on their faces is worth $1 million. I mean, they just go, oh, it's truly, truly beautiful. It's one of the most fascinating things I've ever seen. I felt we had to talk about it, a great way to kind of cap off, this podcast here.
Yeah. If sports, if that happened more often in sports, I guarantee you, I would know more and watch more.
You heard it here first. MLB, NHL, NBA, NFL. Guys,
yeah,
get more
of that funny stuff.
Put more bare butts in the stands. I want to see more stuff like that. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
One last thing I wanted to squeak in before we run out of time here. The other piece of media I sent you prior to the podcast, I don't know if you got a chance to look at that one, Phoenix.
I did, and I thought that maybe you sent me the wrong photo.
No, that's how you know it's good. We'll play a little game here. What do you think that is?
That is,
Again, maybe not the best exercise for the for the sound medium, but
I know what this is.
Oh, has he figured it out?
This is a Zamboni, isn't it?
Who said you don't know anything about sports?
I'm sorry, man. I'm ruining the whole.
You're ruining the whole.
Yeah, I figured it out.
This is why this is the last episode.
Hey, I'm still Canadian, man. I'm still Canadian.
I mean, fairness, getting that photo with no context, it doesn't exactly scream Zamboni.
It's just now that I've been looking at it a little bit.
You can start to see the parts of the Zamboni hidden behind the tusks.
Yeah. That's cool. Is it so now let me continue my interpretation.
Yes, please do.
Is this if it's a Zamboni, and we're talking about sports, I'm going to have to guess that it is the release of a new Zamboni from a specific NHL team.
You're 2 for 2. This is why we got to end this podcast, man. You're getting too smart. That is 100% correct. They are, as far as I'm aware, the first NHL team to release a custom Zamboni that has features like this. Did you have any more interpretations about this?
I was trying to figure out which team it might be.
That would be a good one. That kind of bridges the gap. That might be the last thing you might have to figure out.
Well, unfortunately, I think that's where my expertise ends, because I don't really know any of the sports teams. However, if I had to think about the region in which Mammoth might have been seen within the U.S., Mammoths. I'm gonna say some. It's gonna be a state that starts with M.
It is not. It is not. But it is a state. It is the newest.
It is a state.
You've got the name right. The team is called the Mammoth. They are the newest NHL team. You're killing it so far. I don't know if you would necessarily associate this state with Mammoth. There's one thing that you would really associate this state with, and it is it is a lifestyle, I will say, just to not give too much away.
A lifestyle. So you've drawn me away from guessing colder states, since that's where I would assume they were, although I guess climate was probably different during the Ice Age. But semantics aside, I'm gonna say California.
It is not California. I'll get a little bit more specific here. When I say lifestyle, I mean religion.
Religion. Lifestyle.
very specific to this one state.
Yes, because there's only one state in the U.S. that is religious.
This religion? Yes. What a great sports talk podcast.
Yeah.
Guessing U.S. religious preferences.
I don't know. I'm going to have to draw a blank.
Does Mormonism help?
Oof. Not really.
No?
I don't know much about religion. Well, let me think. Mormons. Are they south or north? South, eh?
They are west, and kind of in the middle, not the Midwest, but like on the west side.
You talking Wyoming?
You're close. You're very close.
Colorado.
You're close.
Utah.
There we go. The
Utah
Mammoth. That's right.
Hey, how new are they?
They are, this is their second year.
Oh,
second
cool.
year. They moved from Arizona and are now the Utah Mammoth. And that Zamboni that you saw there was, has a special name. It is called the Zamoth, which is awesome.
Nice.
Super cool. And it is now the flagship ice resurfacer of your Utah Mammoth.
Wow. What do you mean they switched from Arizona?
Oh, boy. we're running low on time, so I'll keep this as concise as possible. But, yeah, relocation is a big thing in North American sports. If you aren't making a lot of money in one city, the billionaire owner will pick up the team and move it somewhere else.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Someone new will buy the team.
So I come here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just about it. We can. There's a lot of issues and politics that go into that. That would probably not be ideal to boil down to a minute and a half. But we will skip that. And I will say that this is just about all the time we have. So thank you all for listening. For the past couple weeks, it's been a great time, Phoenix. Thank you. It's been, as always, a pleasure to chat with you about sports and whatever else we've decided to talk about.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you having me on, and it's disappointing that we're not going to continue this, but I had a good time while it lasted, and I hope you did as well.
I did. I certainly did. All right. Well, for know-it-all, I've been Sam.
I am Phoenix.
Thanks for listening.